Why is your foot in the trash can?
So, we're wading through the pile of garbage that is the internet for a new format. And usually when I try a new format, it only lasts one episode. So, the new format is 20 seconds on a topic. Dig has had a total redesign, and they've erased all old user data.
That's stupid.
It's been taken over by BetaWorks. They just deleted all the old links. So now a lot of people on the web that relied on dig links to keep their blog relevant, well, 2007 is over, people. You know that guy Chris Perez on the Indians?
No.
He's this pitcher who complains.
About what?
About not enough people going to the park and watching the Indians play out in downtown Cleveland.
They should get better.
So there's this guy named Steve King, and he's saying this stuff about Obama. They're still talking the whole Obama might not have been born in the U.S. according to those stupid Republican playbook.
Yeah, they need to just drop this.
They won't shut up about it. I mean, guy's in office, people, and there's no evidence he wasn't born in the country. You know, I can't speak to things I don't know anything about, but there's no fucking evidence. I think I went a little over on that one. Did you hear about Guy Adams? Some reporter, independent, I think, or some paper in Britain?
No, what happened?
He had his Twitter account suspended. He was a guy who was complaining about the NBC coverage of the Olympics. And then he had his Twitter account suspended for a while. And I guess they finally gave it back.
Because somebody's paying Twitter big bucks?
Twitter has a special Olympics portal, but it was over some trumped up reason about publishing someone's email address. Have you seen, I've been doing stuff with the Unicode characters? Well, that was an experiment in a new kind of segment. I think we kept to 20 seconds almost on some of the topics. And thanks to Jessica for joining me on that segment. We have some more ideas. Well, and you know, I'm kicking a few other ideas around. Crap that I found from Reddit. Harvesting videos that I never edited into anything, digging up through the archives. Well, there's a lot of ideas out there. Welcome to the DJMCloud.com podcast, episode number 42, with me, Daniel J. McKeown. And I like to mention that if you want to send us some feedback, you can send an email to djmcloud@sf3am.com. If you want to find the subscription link to the podcast or listen to other episodes, go to our homepage, djmcloud.com, and we also put the show notes there, so you'll be able to find those at the website. Now, I have this idea about a flowchart I want to do. My idea centers around taking a look at the routing of information on the internet. And the first level of analysis would be based on the way that I harvest information around the internet. So I think that there are areas that are sort of like headwaters, tributaries, like where you're gonna it's a meta area where you're gonna find sources of content that you want. So first you're gonna find the sources, and then as you go down the level of magnification, you're gonna look at the actual items. Now the items are broken up, say, best probably by permalinks, in, you know, an internet way. So at the headwaters, at the tributaries, you're gonna be using tools like web browsers, and then after you get the find websites and sources that you like, you know, web browsers, podcatchers, stuff like that, you're gonna find that you're gonna wanna subscribe to sources that are useful and or have information that you want to consume, or and then there's a certain unpredictability that just because they have information right now they're interested in, it doesn't mean you're going to be wanting to look at their stories in the future. So you have to subscribe to multiple sources, and you have to be able to adjust when sources stop being worthwhile. But once you've found these sources, you put them into the RSS readers, and you subscribe to people on Twitter, you subscribe to people on YouTube. From there, there's a relatively new intermediate area of services, or stuff like Pocket and Readability, where they're going to take the information and they're going to store it for you after you've found it but before you've consumed it. And then there's the services like ZooTool and Pinboard, where people can send, Evernote is also used this way by some people, to send your permalinks after you have looked at them and you basically are bookmarking the links. Now, the information routing then from that point, you know, the question is, what do people do in terms of turning around the content? People will tweet. They'll tweet from Pocket. They'll tweet from the web. They'll tweet from different places along the way. They'll reshare the information. They'll share it on Facebook, and people will use other networks like Google+ or Pinboard as well. And so it's sort of a kind of recycling, and that's sort of my idea. It seems like anybody that has a podcast has a network, but that's not what we do here.
No.
No, I use the same site for my podcast and my blog even. So, this is a whole different thing here. And what you're listening to is the DJ on Cloud podcast on August 3rd, 2012. And, you know, there's this app.net project that is trying to raise money. It's not on Kickstarter. I guess it's that type of fundraising program, though, that they're doing. They're just doing it independently, but it's a similar type project. And what they're trying to offer is they're calling it like an app platform, but it's really basically a Twitter clone. And their plan is to make it for profit, but not ad supported. What do you think of that?
They're going to do subscription?
Well, you right now, people can go to their website and get, I think, put $50 down to reserve their username. But they're saying it's going to be a pay service. They're talking about GitHub being a model, but GitHub has a free account and a pay account. But what they're doing is they're trying to raise $500,000. This dude named Dalton Caldwell or something, and he actually hasn't gotten to $200,000yet. So there's a long way to go if they're going to, you know, raise the money for it. It's at join.app.net. They said they're going to try to raise money until August 13th, and then supposedly they're not going to take people's money if they don't raise the amount that they want. So first they'll have to see if they raise the amount that they're that's their goal, and then they'll have to see if what they do next. Right now they have 157,000 out of 500,000 pledged, and they are trying to get to 500,000 by August 13th. What do you think that is going to happen with that join.app.net thing?
I think it's going to fail.
Well, they certainly are a long way from getting enough money.
So, the thing is, companies are a part of the social space. And as much as you want to go over and pay and say no advertising, are you going to allow companies to come and pay? Are you going to have brand ambassadors that are going to pay? People are going to be talking about companies in those areas, and for you to like shut them out, you know, does not make sense, because they support a lot of the content and they drive a lot of what's going on in social networks right now. So is Twitter doing a good job with advertising? I don't know if this is a response to that as much as maybe wanting to get some startup money to do some stuff. I don't know much about the project, about the developers per se, but I think, you know, we just need to have a different approach, and companies need to be real and open and honest. And I think, you know, the fall of advertising is imminent, you know? I think in a couple of decades it will drastically have changed or have gone away. And,
well, look at newspapers.
Right, and we want to have an open conversation, a truthful, authentic, real conversation directly with consumers, and it's moving that way, and social media is a big part of it. So to shut them out, I'm not saying that they are, but it with this sort of no advertising sort of harumphness to their mission, it just seems uninviting.
Yeah, you know, the guy behind the project has a story about his last app that he was working on. He says was in talks to be bought by Facebook, and I guess in early stages, and he feels like Facebook said, well, we're going to build that app anyway, so you might as well just take the money from us, or something that he interpreted as being, shady, and so that's part of the whole, origin story of this, project is that this is, you know, Facebook isn't, you know, very good according to him, and you know, he's also, I guess, not happy with Twitter, so this is a chance to either have developers or users or both fund the network and not have advertisers being there to fund the network. And like, you know, I think that your skepticism is probably in line with a lot of people in the industry.
I thought you shot that music from your iPhone to the computer.
No, actually, you know, in Mountain Lion now, the new update to OS X that's out, there you have to have a really new computer to be able to do AirPlay, which, you know, involves, you know, sending, you know, sounds around like that. But I don't think, even though we have fairly new Macs, I don't think ours are quite new enough. Now I have a blog post that I want to read to you. This is from a blog called Confessions of a Klee Habitant, and the title is called Boys and Their iPhones. A running joke between a few friends and me is, quote, "Have you received any more photos?" Unquote. What photos, you wonder? You know, the unprovoked nude photos from a certain guy that will pop up on your iPhone when you're least expecting it. Maybe it's on your morning coffee run, in your weekly status meeting, or when you're on your way to the gym. You never really know when it's going to happen. I don't even know how it started between these said friends, but it was definitely something we laugh about over happy hour, because it is totally unprovoked on their part. And poof, penis photos show up. Exclamation mark. Before this onslaught of photos from guys, I would assume the ladies would be the ones sending the photos to guys first when they are trying to reel them in after the sexting gets old. You know the photos I'm talking about? The ones where you cut off your head, throw on heels, and take a behind shot of yourself in the mirror. Or the topless shot with your copy of 50 Shades of Grey to send to your man. However, my friends and I are here to say that no, no, and no. The guys, in fact, are just as guilty as the girls of sending racy photos of themselves. First, I tell you. First. And when I say first, I mean after you hang out with him a few times, or even only once for that matter, and then a shirtless photo comes through flexing and you find yourself scratching your head thinking, what? You then play the awkward yet funny back and forth banter because you aren't sure if he's serious or if this is part of his personality that you just don't know yet, even debating on creasing your own elbow to mimic cleavage just because. And then it's like a damn waterfall where it's photo after photo and they keep getting better in location and content. First, you can't really make out the background of where the shirtless photos are taken, but then you start to notice location of the now penis photo. It's in the bedroom based on dressers, and then the kitchen because you see dish towels in the right corner. Or you can guess it's in the car based on the angle. So, let's get the phone part. Let's get to the fun part, because I know my friends aren't the only ones who receive a slew of interesting photos in the opposite sex. Spill it. And that was a dramatic reading of a blog called Confessions of a Klee Habitant.
Yes. I have a friend that did, in fact, get her very own dick photo, and she was just as shocked as ever. And it is a true phenomenon out there.
That's appalling. You know, glad I'm a married man, and gotta say. People these days, I don't know what to say. I can't imagine acting like that if I were single. But you know, you don't know how low you're gonna go until you're there. Thank you. Well, Tweetbot for Mac is out in an alpha version. I was using it a little bit earlier and showing it to Jessica. What do you think of it?
It's really nice. You know, it's a nice interface. It has slide. What do you call those buttons on the side that kind of slide open? The on the left, the at sign.
It has a kind of a navigation bar on the left,
yeah.
I guess, but it's a mini navigation bar, and it just has the symbols that, yeah, that denote different Twitter feeds people have, yeah, like replies and direct messages. But I guess other than that sidebar, it's a lot like the client that is available for iOS. I think it's basically an iPhone client. I don't think it really scales up for iPad, but, you know, I've been using that a lot for Twitter. So now there's this, you know, there's this new option for Mac, because the old Twitter for Mac, desktop app really hasn't been updated much. I guess people... I think I heard people that have the new Retina screen MacBook Pros, it can see, like, you know, flaws in it. It's not built for that resolution, and it uses some static images for certain elements, so it doesn't look very good. So, you know, what do you want to use if you want to use a desktop, you know, Twitter client? You know, it's definitely an area where people are hungry for something good.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants to kind of freshen up their Twitter experience, and this is a good one to try.
I have, you know what I use a lot is the TweetDeck Chrome app. I think, like, this one is really good. Now, they have the activity feed, like, you know, available. Like, I look at three columns. I have my Facebook newsfeed, I have my Twitter timeline, and then I have an activity Twitter feed. And I think that the activity Twitter feed, especially when people are favoriting a lot of stuff, like, I mean, sometimes there's you find people to follow, or you just find random cool comments. So I think that thing is, you know, it's pretty cool to use.
Is that where you can see what I'm listening to on Spotify?
Oh, you know what? It actually doesn't come through, as far as I know, in the general news feed. I if I want to see that, I have to either go into Spotify or into Facebook. But, you know, you can also export what you're listening to on Spotify to Last.fm. So if we do that, like, I've been talking about setting that up for you, too, because that... So for me, you know, if... If I'm friends with you on Facebook, then you could see my Spotify, what I'm listening to on Spotify. But if I follow someone on Twitter and they follow me, like, how can they see what I'm listening to? I mean, it is a few clicks, but you just click to my webpage, and then I have a Last.fm, like, list, you know, like, and it'll actually come in live. It'll tell you that I'm listening to Last.fm. Well, this has been the DJMCloud.com podcast. Episode 142. You can go to the front page and check the show notes if you want to see links to the stuff we're talking about. Well, Jessica, what else do you have to offer the viewers in the last few seconds? You were at the zoo tonight. You were working the event. The fundraiser.
Went to Twilight at the Zoo. Great event. And I got to meet an owl and a kookaburra. And I'll show you the photos.